to the first serve, talking the world of tennis on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
Indeed we are. Good morning everyone on a very hot Melbourne morning at 6 past 11. Of course, always a staple diet during the summer. We talk tennis between 11 and 12. A busy time with the Australian Open wildcard playoff at Melbourne Park. Of course, a big summer of tennis to come. All the lead-up events about to start in the next couple of weeks. Today we're going to focus on the Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic right here in our own backyard, the 4 days leading up to the Australian Open. So Brian Cooney, the tournament director, to join us very shortly on the show. Good morning to you, Paul Aiken. Good to see you.
Good morning, BP, and it's an honour to have someone else in this morning.
Indeed. Let's roll out the red carpet. She's back. She is back. I'll tell you what, she's been on a sojourn. The show just hasn't quite been the same without her.
No, it doesn't have the same punch.
Charlotte James.
You're welcome.
The glow in the studio is amazing.
I know, it's amazing, the sparkle that I've brought to the studio this morning, isn't it?
You've been working hard, but you look really refreshed.
I know, it's weird how those things work together, isn't it? Bit of Bali sunshine, no worries.
Great to have you back on the show today. We've got a fair bit to get through. In fact, breaking news out of Melbourne Park this morning is that the men's final is not going to go ahead. We did learn on social media through Ben Mitchell's Twitter account, CJ, in the last 48 hours, that if his partner, Lois, was going to go into labour, who's in Brisbane, he would forego the final and get there. And we can tell you Ben Mitchell is on a plane, Brisbane bound. But the man he was going to take on in the final today, James Duckworth, the top seed, has been good enough to join us off the top of the show this morning. G'day, James.
Hey, how are you?
Mate, we're going really well. How do you sort of react to the news that you're not playing today? You know you're through, and often we've seen the runner-up of the wild card also get a Guernsey in the Australian Open, but you've been preparing to play and you've received that news. Oh, got you there, James?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, look, it was obviously not the way you want to win, but it's nice to be back in the main draw. It was tough. I've been staying with Ben for this week, and he left late last night. Knowing his partner was going in, and it was probably going to happen very soon. So yeah, look, my thoughts are with him, and hopefully everything goes smoothly.
Congratulations, mate, and I think very worthy regardless. I have to say, you were my pick today. I think with your slice and your serve and your clever tactics would have got you over the line. Just on that, what would your tactics have been today?
I would have just tried to play it sort of the way I've been playing all the week, trying to play aggressively, looking to serve big and to come in a lot and, make him hit a lot of passing shots. I think that's been working well for me this week, and I think the conditions here have enabled me to play that aggressive style. That's the way I would try to go about things.
Congratulations, James. In past years with the wildcard playoff, we've sometimes seen it's difficult for the winner of the wildcard to actually parlay that success into success in the first round of the Australian Open. I guess, there's a bit of a gap between the wildcard playoff and the Open. How can you prepare for the tournament from here? What's the process?
I'm going back to Sydney now for a few days. Practicing a little bit with Leighton there, so that'll be great. And then I'll be back up in Brizzy where I have my main training base from Boxing Day onwards. I'll be practicing there for a week, and then I'll be playing a few tournaments to start off the summer. Start off in Brisbane, and then make my way down here after that.
James, a breakout year for you, getting inside the top 100 for the first time. It was a tougher back end to the year. I mean, how would you sort of summarise 2015? I think we all enjoy watching you play, serve volley. You love getting in aggressive at the back. You can your hands at the net are terrific as well. I mean, where do you sort of rate your game right now?
Yeah, look, I was really happy with how I sort of played the first 5-6 months up until French Open. I had a bit of a back injury, which kept me out for all the grass court season except for the Wimbledon, where I had a couple of injections just to play. And then that back injury sort of plagued me through to the end of the US Open. I was playing through a bit of pain for a while, which set me back a little bit. And that probably didn't help my ranking, and I didn't have some great results. So I feel like I've been playing some good tennis lately in the last last month to 6 weeks or so, and hopefully I can continue to improve and play well at the start of this year.
Well, top 100, mate, which is just awesome this year. What are some of your goals for 2016, be it technical, tactical, or physical?
I think there are a few areas in my game that I can improve on. You know, still just getting better at playing that sort of aggressive, coming forward style of play. Just doing that better in all areas, whether it's transition balls or first volleys and that sort of thing. I think also maintaining a high first serve percentage is pretty key for me. That really affects my performance directly. And then my goals to get back inside the top 100 as soon as possible, and try and get my ranking higher than what my career high was earlier this year at 82.
James, you mentioned that you'll be training with Leighton. Obviously, a historic moment going to happen in January when he retires. What's the mood like amongst the Aussie players at the moment?
It's going to be sad, seeing him go. He's just been such a great ambassador for the sport for so many years, and all us Aussie boys really look up to him. He's been a big influence on all of us. He's he helps us out a lot. I've done a lot of practice sessions with him, and he's watched a lot of my matches and gave me certain tips and pointers. So it'll be sad to see him go, but it's pretty exciting that he'll still be involved heavily in tennis, being Davis Cup captain, and he'll still be able to help us out a lot.
James, we really appreciate you giving us a few moments. You can sort of, I suppose, put the feet up today. You're in the Australian Open. I wish you all the best for a big summer, mate. We're going to be seeing plenty of you, and it's been a pretty solid week for you down there at Melbourne Park, getting through to the final and hopefully running into some really good form.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, James. James Duckworth getting the word there from the men's final. So just repeating that news, Ben Mitchell has had to forfeit today, obviously due to personal circumstances. And you would think, guys, very quickly before we move on, that the runner-up traditionally, I haven't got the exact stats in front of you, but more often than not, CJ and Paul, the runner-up has got a Guernsey into the Australian Open. And he's had a really good back end of the year, winning his first challenger, won that future in back-to-back weeks. So I think there probably will be a tick for Ben to get into the Aussie Open.
Yeah, absolutely. And like all drama around this week's wildcard playoff with babies and weddings and so on. But, it's good. It seems like the administration are taking those things into account. They really are things that are hard to legislate for, I think.
And he's had a pretty good week, Paul. Oh. I mean, he's always fit, Ben. He does play well at this time of the year.
Yeah, look, watching him play some 5 weeks ago in Canberra and then also a little bit in Sydney, his form was right on. Very low skin folds, looks a real athlete.
Yeah.
Talking to his coach, Des Tyson, on Friday, they're trying to develop a bigger forehand with him. Mm. And Des was just saying that, he's really taken responsibility for his career in the last 6 months.
Absolutely. So we'll see what unfolds here. Of course, the women's final will start at 12:30. If you want to get down to Melbourne Park, or entry is free today. Arina Rodionova, what an extraordinary week. Her birthday, getting married yesterday, and in a final today. It could be the best week of her life. We'll have a chat to her coach, Louise Fleming, a little bit later on. But at 14 past 11, let's focus in on the summer of tennis. Okay, we're going to welcome in Brian Cooney, of course, the tournament director of the Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic. Good to see you again, Brian. We always sort of catch up at this time of the year.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Nice to be here.
And, of course, CJ, you're a big part of this as well, doing all the media and the promotion of the build-up to the Kooyong Classic. And I know the field's going to be extended. There's all sorts of new initiatives. But I suppose we might focus in on the field first, just to give our listeners who are thinking of getting tickets, be a good Christmas present to buy someone this week, the type of play they're going to see come those few days in January. I think January 12 we get underway, leading up to the Australian Open.
The biggest change in the event this year is going from 8 players to 12 players, and there's a whole bunch of reasons for that. But last year we had a horrible year with rain, so I got a chance to talk to a lot of the coaches and a lot of the players, and it became pretty clear that, particularly with the Melbourne weather, despite the fact it was raining last year, that can be pretty hot, and playing three matches in 4 days, or for some of them, half the field, three matches in 3 days, was not ideal. The year before, there was a lot of withdrawals. And so for the integrity of the event, and in conjunction with Tennis Australia, we work very closely together, we agreed to increase the size of the field to 12 and only give them two matches each. And so that's meant a whole lot of other changes. So, for example, on day one, you used to get all eight players playing,
mm-hmm.
and then a mishmash of that thereafter, whereas this year, on the first day, we've got half the field playing, and then on the second day, half the field playing. So there's more variety for the fans, more players to see, more action, more everything. So
Kooyong's always been a real community tennis event, I think, Brian, hasn't it? There are some changes this year to the Kooyong Common area and also to the way that fans can access the event.
Sure. Well, you're right. We've always tried to portray it as a community event. This year we've done a lot of work with Tennis Victoria in that regard, and so we've got a lot closer to the tennis clubs of Victoria with some very special offers that they could get and come and enjoy the play. Which has been, and they've been fantastic supporters of us. But so once we realised that we've got the field set and a better offering out on the court, we then had to match it with a better offering down on the beautiful grass courts of Kooyong, which we're the activation area we're naming is now called Kooyong Common. And there's a whole array of different activity, but one of the things is we wanted to bring the players closer to the fans. So instead of having press conferences, for example, down in the bowels of the Kooyong Lawn Tennis Club with just a bunch of journalists, every press conference now will be, well, you know, the fans don't see that. And I think that's, they're really interesting press conferences, and I don't mean that with any disrespect to journos, but I think everyone should share what the and hear what the players have got to say. So
it's a bit like the social check, maybe, CJ.
Yeah, that player, the people's press conference kind of concept, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. So, and we've got, you know, a great MC, but along with our great MC, Pat Cash is coming down and doing some work for us too. So he'll do a lot of the interviews, and I think that you know, and Cashy himself the other day, just unsolicited, came out with a great tweet about the field, and so I think it's just going to add a lot to the engagement of the, you know, bringing the player and the fan closer together, because I don't know of any other tournament where that happens.
No, and we're broadening the access for people as well with our free after three initiative, which is just fantastic. After 3 o'clock, you can come down, free entry to the grounds. If there's tennis still on centre court, you can go and check out the tennis. And then an initiative that's very close to my heart because it involves food. Kooyong is going to have on Kooyong Common a range of food trucks as well, which is really exciting.
Fantastic. So just to headline, obviously, Nick Kyrgios is going to be there. Brian, can we just run through the names that you've got confirmed at this stage?
Sure. Well, we've got, I've sort of segmented it this year for a whole bunch of reasons, which I'll quickly go through with you. So apart from Nick, we've got Richard Gasquet, Gilles Simon, yep, Feliciano Lopez and David Goffin. So Goffin just played in the Davis Cup final.
Yeah.
Simon and Gasquet this year both made Grand Slam semifinals, and Lopez is a fan with a certain sector of the community.
Don't know who I was talking
so
about.
We've got that. And then I targeted, the ATP have a thing called the Young Guns or Future Stars program.
Yep.
And so we had a look at some of the guys in that. And so there's a young Korean player who's, so these guys are all about 18, 19, 20. And Kyrgios and Kokkinakis are part of this Future Stars program. And so we've got Hyun Chung from North Korea, who's ranked 50, 51 in the world.
Had a great year.
Yeah, fantastic player. Huge raps on him. Alexander Zverev from Germany,
yep,
who has probably got more big raps on him than any of that group. Kyle Edmund from the UK, who played in the winning British Davis Cup team a week or so ago. And then Nick, you know, is the fourth. So we've got the four young guns, four top 15 players. And then we've got a favourite section, I guess we'd call it, which is Marcus Baghdatis, you know, just a great Melbourne favourite.
Got him, Marcus, who I think his partner
just had a baby 2 days ago.
Yeah, just joined the party with these guys. Nicolas Almagro, who was top 10 but missed a year through injury.
Yep.
We've got another Spanish guy who probably not many people will know, but Pablo Carreño Busta, and who was like earmarked to be a great player. And I think it was in 2013 or 2014. 2014, he jumped from 715 to about 50 or 60 in the world.
I was just thinking that could be another section, just the names that roll off the tongue.
Yeah, you'll love him, Brett. That'll be one of your third favourites.
So Carreño was like a guy with a bullet, but he's been a little bit injured. And then the last one in that group is, we've got Baghdatis, Carreño, Busta. Well, I think that actually takes it to 12 then.
One Aussie, we've still got.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yes.
One
yes.
to announce.
So we're working with Tennis Australia on offering a spot to for Tennis Australia to factor Kooyong in a preparation for players. And so I've been dealing with Wally and Pat in this last few days while the Wildcard Open's been on.
So a bit like Jordan Thompson in the past.
A bit like Jordan Thompson, yeah. So that's a 12. So it's a really interesting mix, but I think it's, you know, four great players, four stars of the future, four favourites, and away we a bit headlined by Nick.
Yep.
Because it'd be fair to say, Brian, that one of the best parts of this event is its flexibility. When sometimes you get that unfortunate phone call at the 11th hour, someone's pulled out, you can perhaps get someone from another event too, if that does happen.
Yeah, and that's, Paul, but that's what I'm trying to eliminate, because in terms of the integrity of the event, and the first year we had it, there were nine. It's an eight-man field, and we had nine pullouts. So even the replacements for you, it was a disaster. But if you think about it, the whole we actually nearly didn't have a final, because the player that made the final, and that was when it finished on the Saturday, he saw the draw on the Friday, was due to play on the Monday, and he said, "Well, I don't want to play." And it spoils it for the fans. It spoils it for everyone. And so that's why we moved it from Wednesday to Saturday to Tuesday to Friday, moving to two matches per player will reduce the pullouts. And so I'm hoping that the eight players that start this year will finish the tournament. But you're right, there's a lot of flexibility in the event. Just the mere fact that we've been able to rejig it as completely as we have is an example of that.
We're talking to Brian Kearney, of course, Tournament Director of the Priceline Pharmacy. Kooyong Classic starts, of course, January 12 across 4 days. CJ, you're heavily involved in this. Just take us for a little tour around the grounds. You sort of started to touch on it, the whole fan experience. Of course, you know, there's the, if you want to go corporate, you can. If you just want to sit out and buy sort of the general admission tickets, there's a bit for everyone, not only the tennis, but obviously a lot of activations going on as well.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I think is fantastic for this year is a new area in the eastern side of the court, which is called the Eastern Terrace, in a clever, catchy Eastern Terrace, which is a... it's an area, it's a bit more casual viewing. So there's a bar there and tables and chairs and other places where you can watch from, but it's a little bit more kind of a casual viewing experience, which I think works beautifully with Kooyong's whole vibe. Mm-hmm. As I said, it's free after 3 o'clock, so people can come down maybe after work, you know, have a drink or bring the kids down, maybe watch a bit of tennis, hang out on Kooyong Common, which, as well as the food trucks, you know, all the sponsors activate down there. We've got a big screen, champagne and Pimm's bars.
Got to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a little stage. There'll be all sorts of things happening. The interviews with the players will happen down there. So really vibrant, fun kind of area as well. So, you know, it's a good spot, I think, as people are just easing back into work at the start of January, which we all know is really painful. You know, you can kind of just temper that pain, I think, by heading down.
No, you don't. I just work in January and December.
Sure,
the two busiest months of the year. I sympathise with those that can get out and have some pims and, you know, just kick back on the lawn.
Welcome
while we all
to our
work.
World. You know, just come down, make it a little bit more palatable, those early January weeks.
Absolutely.
So I think it's going to be beautiful. And you can get so close to the players and the action. You know, that's the great thing about Kooyong. The vibe is so relaxed, so chilled out. It's going to be great.
The spiritual home of Australian tennis. A bit like the Hopman Cup, Brian. I mean, that's a lot of players, I suppose it's quite appealing that they can actually be in Melbourne, where the first Grand Slam is going to be, and get some guaranteed matches under their belt.
Yeah, they can come. They settle into their hotel. They have all the facilities of the National Tennis Centre down at Melbourne Park, where they can train, have all the sports science facilities, whatever, and they're training on where they're going to be playing the following week. But they get some high-calibre matches. They come out to Kooyong, and it's in tournament conditions. You know, there's a referee, there's all those sorts of things. So it's, and there's people. So it's very, very popular with the players. With these changes that we instigated this year, we were well oversubscribed.
Yep, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, as a member of Kooyong, I'm a bit biased, but I think it's a lot of fun getting up close to the players and watching their training habits, and particularly for the new players, Chung and Zarev, just to give them a sense of what Kooyong's all about as well.
Oh, they're going to see the best tennis, or one of the top three tennis clubs in the world, for a start.
Yeah, exactly.
And but it's just, they're in the room, they're mixing with guys that have been around for a long time, top 10 players and so on and so forth. You know, it's... it'll be a wonderful preparation for them. And that's what we've been talking to Tennis Australia about, is that previously there'd only been one Australian sort of permitted, if you like, to play the tournament, whereas now they've realised that actually this can be a real benefit to people. And so the partnership's a lot closer in that regard.
And an interesting initiative announced on Friday as well, Brian, with Kooyong teaming up with the Global Chinese Tennis Association to run a program, like a multicultural program.
Yeah, it's a multicultural engagement program. The Global Chinese Tennis Association is a worldwide body sanctioned by the Chinese Tennis Association, and it's basically the international club of Chinese tennis players outside of China. And in line with our desire to be a community, much more of a community-based event, we formed an association with them, which we announced on Friday. And I think it's going to be great. And I think Kooyong were really pleased because it shows that, you know, they're an open club and they welcome engagement, you know, multicultural engagement and so on and so forth. And it'll bring a lot of people to the event. They're going to put on the opening ceremony just before the final on Friday.
There's going to be a dragon dance.
A dragon dance and drums and all those sorts of things. And
fantastic.
So,
love that.
So they'll bring a bit of colour and colour to the event, but they're also running some little tournaments, and one of the finals of the tournament, the final of one of the tournaments is being played immediately after our final, which will be between a Chinese and an Australian kid. So, again, it's all to do with our efforts to just engage the community.
Fantastic. Brian, really appreciate you coming in. Just simply, folks, head to kooyongclassic.com.au. That is where you can purchase tickets. So if you, you know, maybe if you just avoid Chadstone or avoid any shopping centre, just buy a couple of tickets for your loved ones and deliver them in their hand, ready to go for Christmas Day to this year's Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic. It starts January 12 at no doubt the spiritual home, which will see a lot more tennis, we believe, in 2015, as we told people
we hope
on this show a few weeks ago. Mate, great to see you, and
thanks,
all
Brent.
The best.
Yeah, and to all of you, have a great Christmas, and thank you very much for having me.
Indeed. Brian Kearney, Tournament Director of the Priceline Pharmacy Kooyong Classic. Louise Fleming to join us next. She's trying to guide Arina Rodionova to victory today and a berth in the Australian Open come January 18. And your calls, welcome, right here on the first serve, 9429 1116.
On 1116 SEN, you're listening to the first serve, talking tennis, building up to the Australian Open 2016.
Welcome back at 29-12. Paul Aitken is here, and great to have the First Lady back today, Charlotte James. Just a reminder to kooyongclassic.com.au. You've heard the ads here constantly over the last couple of months on SEN, media partner of the Kooyong Classic. We'll be bringing you the final live, of course, January 15. So make sure you get along. It's a fantastic tournament. Great setting, of course. Home of the Australian Open for so many years. And, of course, the clubhouse there has been revamped in the last couple of years. It is just an unbelievable setting. Just repeating that news off the top, we did catch up with James Duckworth. No men's final at the AO Wildcard playoff today. So he gets straight through. Ben Mitchell's partner, of course, well, she's gone into labour. Ben's, for personal reasons, decided to go back to Brisbane, and rightly so. I'm sure no one would disagree with that at all. So the women's final is due to start at 12:30. What an extraordinary weekend for this girl. Well, it was her birthday on Monday. She got married yesterday, and today she's in the final of the Australian Open playoff for 2016. One lady who knows exactly what she's going through is Louise Fleming, who's her coach, who was at the wedding last night. Lou, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Forgive me for my little bit of a husky voice this morning.
Well, first, before we get onto the tennis, how was the wedding?
Oh, look, it was terrific. It was probably one of the most fun and lively weddings I've ever been to, really. It was more like a huge party. And I think for both Ty and Arena, that was pretty much their message. That's what they wanted to get out of their wedding, was for everyone just to be really happy and to make it a lot of fun. And, gosh, it really was fun. The Australian / Russian influences throughout the night was hilarious. It was great.
I'm going on and on about food this morning, Louise, but a lot of my friends, my foodie friends on Facebook, are friends with Arena, and she and Ty have opened a restaurant up as well. How was the food?
Oh, the food was amazing. It was fantastic. I had some scallops to start with as an entree, which was beautiful. And then there was an amazing lamb, and it had some maybe cream and slightly unhealthy things for the real fanatical athlete, but super tasty. And it was beautiful. The Langham Hotel was just stunning. The views, the whole area where we had the reception, it was just absolutely spot on the whole night.
Just before Paul talks some tennis and tactics for today, I imagine she was just on the waters last night. Is she fresh? What time did she leave last night?
Well, I actually left about 1 o'clock in the morning, and everybody was doing a little bit of karaoke. A couple of the Richmond footy players had done a few different renditions of all sorts of very funny songs. And I put my hand up. Actually, Ty came up to me and he said, "Lou, you're not leaving until you can sing a song." So I had to do a quick Help Yourself by Tom Jones. And that's about the last memory I have as I said goodbye to everyone. I was like, I better go home so at least I know what I'm talking about tomorrow for tactics. That's right. So, no, it was so much fun. It was brilliant.
Look, this story really has some legs, and I think it's actually stolen the wild card show, really. My wife, who's not even a massive tennis fan, was intrigued with the whole scenario and was trying to Google pictures to try and find out about this wedding last night. What was Ariana's preparation like this morning?
Look, she's just, we just said take it really easy this morning. Don't, like, enjoy, you know, your first morning as Mrs. Vickery. And just to, I guess, you know, you only ever really get married once. This is going to be the biggest event of her life. And we just wanted her to take that as, you know, obviously the preference, it's the main thing, to really enjoy that. So take it easy this morning. Just come on in, and as we just see them all arriving now, high-fiving everyone. And we got Ty, Arena, we've got Olga Savchuk, who is a really good friend of Arena's. She's just flown in from Europe, so she's warming up Arena this morning. They're all just coming in. It's quite funny. And Ty did say last night, he said, "You're all coming in." He's like, "We'll pump you up with some drinks. Come in and watch the final." So it is going to be a really fun affair. So the Arena probably got up about, I'd say around 10, would have had a really big breakfast. I said, make sure you get a lot of food and fuel into you. You've got to, and throughout the night, I kept dropping in the odd glass of water in between, you know, the odd glass of champagne. But just making
good
sure
work,
that
coach.
She's going to be hyped. Just, you know, not to take too much focus away from, you know, just really enjoying yourself and letting loose. But look, I think she's going to have just awesome adrenaline, I think, for this match today. And hopefully that'll really get her through. But, I mean, I'm so proud of her for every decision that she's made this week. She's had to really think about it. And it's taken so much energy and just so much focus to maintain the level of what she's needed to bring onto the court every match. So today, hopefully she's just got enough in the bank that she can just get through this final and kind of deserve the win, which is what I think she does, because she's playing some really good tennis at the moment.
How do you see Arena's game matching up against Inglis today?
Look, Maddie's a younger junior. She probably doesn't quite have the same experience at this level, I think, as Arena. Arena's been put in a lot more pressure situations. She's played the Australian Open main draw. She's been in these qualifying situations. She's lost in the qualifying final three times, Arena. So this is a really big one for her. She's hungry to take the win. But look, Maddie, you know, she's now playing some Grand Slam Junior events throughout the year. She's played some really good matches in the recent Pro Tour events. So she's certainly developing a good game. Arena will come out and try to be really aggressive today, not to let Maddie dictate. Maddie plays pretty linear, so she plays pretty flat. She stands up in the court and she likes to get that first strike in. She's got a decent serve. So Arena really doesn't want to let her get into too much rhythm. So just using the slice, some high balls, some balls fast to get into the corners, and then Arena likes to come forwards as well. So I think the key thing today for Arena is to start really positively, get off on a good note, so that she's kind of trying to keep that, you know, that mentality of controlling the match straight from the beginning.
We're talking to Louise Fleming, coach of Arena Rodionova, who will play, of course, Madison Inglis in the girls' final. 12:30 start. Entry is free in at Melbourne Park. with the men not playing, and we can tell you she survived the wedding, which is a good thing. But Lou, I just a little bit of the backstory. I mean, the show that preceded us, The Science of Sport, we're really intrigued off the top, just after 10 this morning. You know, she would have planned her wedding day, obviously, a long time ago. And knowing the wild card is always this week, what was sort of her thinking, I suppose, through the year? It's often hard, I suppose, for tennis players to plan their personal life around their tennis schedule, but knowing that that was probably going to be in the same week.
Yeah, look, it was a tough call, I think. You know, they knew early on in January that they wanted to make it this week. I think it fitted in with Ty's Richmond pre-season as well. He's just come back from Queensland. So there were a lot of things to consider. And I think for Arena, she wanted to have it at the end of the year so that her tennis friends that came from Europe would come and stay over Christmas, and then they could just go straight to Brisbane. So for her, this time of the year was perfect. Bring her mum and dad, and then they could stay out for the Australian summer as well. But, you know, they obviously knew it was the week of the playoffs, and I think Arena was thinking this year she'd have a really good crack at getting the wild card. If you're the top Australian to get the most points at the 250,000 in Canberra and Bendigo, and I think that's what she was putting kind of all of her focus into. But unfortunately, coming into those events, she'd had a knee injury and she'd had a few months off, so she was a little short of match play. And so she got to the quarterfinals in the tournament in Canberra, and she got to the quarters in Bendigo. She needed to get another win just to try to get into that semi-final stage to be considered for that wild card.
Okay.
So
that was
pretty much her thinking.
Hmm. Looking forward to 2016, what is her plan going forward?
Yeah, look, last year was very much to play doubles, try to get top 50 doubles. Now they reached top 40. They played some great doubles matches with her and Anastasia. So, you know, I think this year she'd really like to put her best foot forwards and play singles and just focus on that. So I think that's going to be something that she really wants to do this year, is to get her ranking back up. Her top ranking's around the 160 mark. She'd like to get inside the 100, and I think that would, you know, by her, if she can get into the Australian Open and have a good run, anything can happen this year. She could really set herself up for a great year in singles.
Lou, great to talk to you. I know you've got to go and prepare Arena. 12:30 start. What an amazing weekend. If she can salute today, probably the best week of her life, I'd imagine, getting married to the man she loves and getting a berth into the Australian Open. It couldn't get any better than that. Might be an even bigger party tonight. Really appreciate your time. We'll catch up soon.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Louise Fleming, the coach there of Arena Rodionova. Just on the way to the break from Ando. We'll come back, Ando, and answer your Mariko Matosevic question after the break. But is the final today indoors? No, it'll be outdoors. It's been outdoors all week. And, well, the mercury says 37. We are expecting a cool change to come through this afternoon. I think there's only one final that I can remember.
I remember that one rain. Well. Was it torrential, wasn't it?
Matosevic, Peter Luchek, that went
indoors,
five sets.
Had to all be set up.
That's right.
On the day. It was
but the conditions this week down there replicate basically what the players will face at the Australian Open, so it'll definitely be outdoors. A break, back with plenty more here on the First Serve.
On 11.16 SEN, you're listening to The First Serve, talking tennis, building up to the Australian Open 2016.
Yeah, look, it was obviously not the way you want to win, but it's nice to be, you know, back in the main draw. Look, yeah, it was tough. You know, I've been staying with Ben for this week, and yeah, he left late last night. You know, knowing his partner was going in, and it was probably going to happen very soon. So yeah, look, my thoughts are with him, and hopefully everything goes smoothly.
Well, that was James Duckworth, the top seed at this year's Australian Open playoff, joining us off the top of the show just after 11 this morning, because he is through. So the men's final hasn't gone ahead, with Ben Mitchell having to get to Brisbane for personal reasons, and rightly so, with the due date of his first baby, of course. And that's where you want to be if you're a man. And if you're not there, I imagine, CJ, you'd be in trouble with your partner, because they always like the man to be at the birth of your child, don't they?
Oh.
A must.
I don't think it's negotiable, is
not
it?
Not negotiable.
Andy Murray was talking this week too about that.
Indeed. Well, he might pull out. He might be in a semi-final, he said. And if Kim's ready to go, I'm out of here.
Don't cross Kim or Judy.
Well, let's ask Vivian Christie, editor of the Australian Tennis Magazine. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning, guys.
You'd agree with those sort of sentiments? If the baby's due, you've got to be there.
Absolutely. Baby comes first.
Indeed it does. So, hey, a bit of news going around. In fact, speaking of babies, Marcos Baghdatis, we sort of mentioned a few minutes ago, always a favourite here in Melbourne. His partner has given birth in the last, I think, 48 hours.
Yes. It was in the last couple of days. Marcos became a dad again. He's got a second daughter with his wife, Carolina Sprem, who's actually, she's an ex-player herself, and they met in Sydney a few years ago and became a couple. So, yeah, really good news for those guys. And, it's hard to believe that it's 10 years since Marcos was a finalist here at the Australian Open. So I guess he'll start next year in a very positive state of mind.
Some happy news for Patrick Vitova as well this week, Viv?
Yeah, she's tweeted the news of her engagement to hockey player Radek Meidel. So great news. They've had a very private relationship, I guess you'd say. She's referenced him in an interview probably about a year ago now, but he's kept well out of the limelight. But and also just a sign of how popular Petra is. There were so many tweets from all her fellow players like Sabine Lisicki and Angelique Kerber, and just it's really good to see her in a really happy place. She's had a challenging season tennis-wise. You know, she's struggled earlier in the year. She took a couple of months off from big events like Indian Wells and Miami, and then diagnosed with glandular fever shortly after Wimbledon, but she's finished the year strong. So, good to see her so happy.
And an awkward moment between Kyrgios and Mourinho. Is the media just fueling this one, or is it true, Viv?
I saw the video. You know, I think we're reading a lot into it. It's hard to work it all out from, you know, watching it online from afar. But I guess the news with Kyrgios this year, this week, he's been really having a great time. We can see that. We saw his fantastic relationship going on there with Andy Murray. It's been quite funny to see those two players having fun together and making nicknames for each other. I think Andy calls Nick Box Office, and Nick in turn said he was God. So, I think let's just focus on the positives there.
Well, yes, the positives, Viv, but be devil's advocate. I saw the little encounter, and Nick was trying to do the big high five. Stan didn't want really a part of it. And be fair to say, I mean, Stan wouldn't be thinking they're best mates. It's a bit to sort out there if they're actually going to become a little bit chummy. So they've been playing together.
He may not be a high five guy, though, either.
And also, you know, we all want.
He probably didn't want a high five, Nick.
No.
Yeah, but we all have this sort of romantic view of the tour as if they're all best buddies, and this one's friends with that one.
Exactly.
I mean, they're trying to kill each other out there. They're not going to be best buds, are they?
Put 40 AFL footballers together in a club here in Melbourne. They are best mates.
McEnroe wants argy bargy.
He does. Mm. Hey, Viv, I know you're busy at work. Tennismag.com.au. Get the latest edition. Who is on the cover of the January edition coming out soon?
Actually pretty special cover because we're celebrating our 40th birthday in January.
Yep.
So, but we've gone with our world number ones and defending Australian Open champions Serena and Novak.
Beautiful stuff. Make sure you get that at all good news agencies or log on, subscribe to your home, tennismag.com.au. Thanks, Viv.
Thanks, guys.
Very nice work. We've got a little bit of time, 30 seconds for your coaching tip of the week, Master Coach.
Okay. My coaching tip this week is the ball toss and to practice it. And you can practice it outside away from a tennis court and try and toss the ball up with a left arm, which is at 45 degrees, so almost pointing at the net post, if you like, folks, and tossing it up like you're holding a cup or a glass to eliminate any flimsy wrist action. That's right, BP. We don't want that, mate.
Don't be giving him coaching tips. I heard he got good recently.
Don't you worry about that. We don't want to
have
to
to play with a splint these days.
Don't make excuses. Thanks, guys. Nice work. We're going to come back next Sunday with our sort of wrap of the year before we head to Brisbane for the opening week. Sunday Sports Central is next.